The following interview was conducted November 13, 1973, with Mr. L.D. Cooper of Kingsville, Texas. Mr. Cooper was born in Central Texas April 12, 1903. He later moved to South Texas, where he was employed by the Humble Oil and Refining Company. While with the Humble Oil and Refining Company, he was employed as construction worker, carpenter, and later as a light oil treater and gasoline processor. The interview was conducted by Perry Watson. Okay, Mr. Cooper, were you born in Texas?
Yes, I was.
What part of Texas are you from?
I was born in Central Texas, about 25 or 30 miles northwest of Waco in Bosque County.
Can you tell us a little bit about your early life, maybe something about your school life?
Yes, I could tell you back from my early life, which I guess I started school when I was 8 years old, and it's in Battle Mills, which is a town of about 1,000 population. Our schools then were similar to they are now. I mean, actually, of course, we were a little more backward maybe than they are today, but I feel like that I've lived in a good time or a good span of life. You say I have lived probably from the latter part of the horse and buggy days up until we put a man on the moon. So in our schools, we didn't start to school as early as we do now, and we didn't have many of the facilities that they have in the public schools today, and we were older when we graduated from school than we are today. Mm-hmm. When I graduated from school, I was 21 years old. So I was just about a man from what we judge. I believe 18 years old today is what we as when we consider that we've reached it. Manhood, but our schools were, we didn't have the 12 grades, I believe, like to do today.
What subjects were taught in your school?
Well, we studied, they had reading and writing, arithmetic, history, chemistry, and Latin. That was our foreign subject. English, science, things of that nature.
Were these subjects taught by one teacher or more than one?
Well, we had, usually a teacher would specialize in one subject. If he was a science teacher, he taught science. If he was a history teacher, they taught history. English teacher, they taught English. It's similar to, I imagine, what they teach today.
Well, how did you get back and forth to school? What methods of transportation did you use?
We walked.
Is that right?
Yes. I remember when, I guess it was in my, just when I had first started school, probably I was 8 or 9 years old. This was just in the end of the horse and buggy days, beginning of the car age. And I remember our teacher marching us out to the side of the road, which we didn't have very good road highways or anything like that, but there was a car coming through a one-cylinder brush, and it had solid tires, it had a stick steering gear, a steering wheel, and it had a side lever to shift on the side, and I know, I guess it was running about 10 miles an hour, but we thought it was flying.
Well, what type of work did you get into, or did you work while you were going to school?
Oh, yes, I picked cotton and I chopped cotton, and I do nearly anything that I could get to do. I was from a large family. There was 4 boys and 4 girls, and we had to work, herd sheep. And we did things of that nature. I went, after I got older, about 17 years old, went to a thrasher. And we'd get, you know, usually the same thing every summer, the seasons, you know, where we would we would do the same, about the same thing every year through our school term, through our school years.
After you left Central Texas, what part of Texas did you move to?
When I left Central Texas, I went out to, I guess, in up around Kerrville and Junction and up through there. I went to work for Humble Oil and Refining Company, and I was with the construction work, and we was building stations up through this area of the country. Then I transferred, but they moved me from there down into Ingleside, into South Texas, where I've been ever since. And I came to South Texas in 1927.
Can you tell us a little bit then about your experiences during the Depression in the early 30s?
Oh, yes. You might say that nearly all my life up until, and the early part of it was a depression. It was a time that people, and back then, they sold farmers, they bought their groceries on, they just pay once a year. And you would carry the farmer all through these months. Well, if he didn't make a crop, if he had a failure or something, well then, of course, they couldn't pay. My grandfather owned a grocery store, and which, through the Depression, it nearly broke us. We didn't have people couldn't pay, so actually we suffered from it too. But we didn't have the you take like the facilities or the things that like they have now that where they fund students to go to school and things like that. We didn't have any of those things. It was really a few wasn't from a family that was that had some money. It was real hard. It was nearly impossible for you to get other than just a high school education. If you didn't, you go to the bank. They wouldn't loan you the money because if you didn't have, didn't have the security to put up. Well, then that was 10%. Everybody, it didn't make any difference. It was just that was a flat rate of 10%, and they wouldn't. There's just no way that you could borrow money because after you would get out, it would be several years before you could pay it back, and it was hard to go to school. I mean, unless you was from a family that was from that was able to send you to school.
What were the conditions of the banks at this time? I mean, I knew that the banks, many of them closed down, but what were the conditions of the banks where you were?
Well, we never had any bank failures where I was, but it was, you had to have collateral. They would take mostly farming, you see, and ranching. And if you had land, of course, you could put up your farms for collateral and you could get money. But there was no such thing as a long-term loan. You might get a loan for 12 months, but it was hard if you'd to buy land or to accumulate land. Of course, it was cheap, but then the banks were, they were reasonably sound. I mean, up until later on, you know, in President Roosevelt's administration, when we had, when they had the bank holiday, you know, to keep them from moving the money out of this country and to foreign countries, which stabilized the banking industries.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the forms of communication, like telephones or radios, TVs, you know, hadn't around the 1930s, hadn't come into American life, but what about radios and telephones?
Well, we had a few radios with just an ear set, you see, just you'd put them on your ear, but then you could separate them and you could use, two people could listen by one using one of the earphones and one using the other earphones. And our communication, of course, we had telephones, which They wasn't nearly as good as they are now, but then it was a means of communication, and they had the telephone systems.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about the type of work you did with Humble Oil Company?
Well, I started out with Humble and the labor gang. I just did whatever kind of work come up. I was, it may be digging a ditch, and it might be pushing a wheelbar. I did this for several years. And then I was interested in kind of in carpenter work, and I started to branch out in this field, and I finally got to be a carpenter, and then which I followed that for a good many years, and then I went into the process work. I went into processing. I was a light oil treater. Finished gasoline was my thing that I did with the oil companies, with them.
Do you remember any of the early industries or oil explorations that went on during this time?
Yes, we, of course, they had, the oil industry in South Texas had, was in its early stages, you know, had just begun to develop the drilling. They started out with, you know, drilling with cable tubes, which was a real slow process, and they gradually, they went into the rotary tubes, and it was, I know during the, during World War One. Well, I remember that World War Two, we had a contract with Germany, the Humble did, furnishing them with 80-octane gasoline, and it took us, this was before the beginning of the war, before we had got into the war, and it took us about a year to fill this contract of this 80-octane gasoline. It was for airplanes.
I see. What can you tell us maybe a little about the law enforcement, if you know, how the Texas Rangers were or some of the other law enforcement agencies at this time?
Well, of course, we had, we've always had law enforcement. I mean, I don't, the Rangers, we've had them a long time, but I would say that the law enforcement was similar to what it is today. I mean, it was, I don't remember it being much different from.
Were the problems that law enforcement agencies had to solve, were they as numerous as they are now?
Well, I, of course, I don't imagine they were, because our population has expanded or exploded since then. I mean, I don't imagine that they, and the means and methods of transportation wasn't as fast. We did have Clyde Barrow and Bonnie Parker. That was back in my life, my time, you know, and I remember all about them. And it was... It wasn't as on maybe as large a scale as it is now, but we've always had, they've had problems with law enforcement. They've had bank robbers, and they've had things of that nature. I can't see much difference in law enforcement today than it was back then.
Did you ever come in contact with any of these criminals like Bonnie and Clyde?
No, I never did.
What about the methods of treatment doctors used? Can you tell us a little about that?
Yes, I drove a doctor all the time I was in high school. And I imagine that the methods of treatment then was rather crude to what it is now. I think that possibly we've made more advancement in the medical profession probably than, I imagine, than any other profession that we have. But I know that I would drive him. He'd be in the winter months, it would be especially bad. we would have confinement cases where they would just, the baby would be born at home in very crude instruments for delivery purposes, and you usually would just have a wood stove and heat water on that, and I would usually sit back in the kitchen around the stove awaiting for the doctor to deliver the child, and when we'd get through, well, then we'd start back. Maybe the fence would be froze over, there'd be ice from the top of them to the bottom, and it was, of course, they lost more children in this period of time than they do now, due to the fact that they just didn't have the facilities to do the work with, and they wasn't as well qualified, didn't have the means and the things that they have today, the instruments and all.
Do you remember any of the home remedies that were used in your family or in your neighborhood?
Oh, yes. We used to have stone bruises on our heels and things, which they would kind of cut them off or trim them with a razor, and we'd make a poultice out of some leaves off of a certain kind of a vine, would mash it up and then put them on there, which it had a drawing power, which would bring these to a head or draw the infection out of them. And we, for cough syrup, we used coal oil and sugar, which we used for cough remedy. And we wear acetophenate around our necks, and we'd use plaster poultices on our chest for bad colds or flu or things like that.
Were there any epidemics at this time that you can remember?
Oh yes, sometimes they'd have diphtheria epidemics, and then later on we had, which were the flu epidemics, you know, which was real bad, lost a lot of people, because then we didn't have these the drugs that we have now that would to treat the people with, and we would be lived back in a time when we just didn't have the facilities or things that we have today, and we didn't have the methods. I know when the sulfur drug came into effect, well, that was a wonderful thing, but now sulfur drug is nearly obsolete or extinct. They use other things. And, far as the surgery that we have today, we had nothing like it back in those days.
Now, there's a lot of talk about the hurricanes in this area. Do you remember anything about the hurricane of 1919?
From reading about it, we didn't have, we wasn't bothered with hurricanes back in Central Texas. We had cyclones, but we didn't have this here.
Did you have any type of floods that caused problems?
Oh, we'd have, live on the rivers and things like that. They would get up, but and they would flood, but then it would run down right quick, and we didn't have anything with floods around homes or like we have here.
What were the conditions of the roads and highways at this time?
Well, we had narrow highways, and most of them were black roads or dirt roads, and they would just drag them or grade them up, and we had very few roads. It would take, well, our cars, after the label, our cars didn't run as fast back though then days as they do now.
What type of cars did they use then? What were the most common?
Oh, well, of course, the Ford's always been the most common car, but that was in the beginning, well, they had a one-cylinder brush, and they had a two-cylinder Buick, and those kind of cars. But eventually, we got up into the Model T Ford, and which we used then. It would take us from about, we could leave San Antonio maybe at sundown or a little before sundown in the afternoon, and we'd drive 150 miles to Valley Mills, and we'd get in there, sun up, or the next day the sun would be pretty high. About 30 miles an hour would be about as fast as you run.
What about the churches? Were people more churchgoers then than they are now, do you think?
Well, I'd say that probably so. Of course, we didn't have as many people as we have now. The people, they've always went to church. But of course, we have more people in churches now than we had then. But we've always had the people been religious and have went to church.
Do you remember any of the stories or legends that were talked about during this time?
Well, my grandfather, who was a rancher, I used to hear him tell about, he used to drive cattle from Central Texas up the Chisholm Trail to Kansas City, and I used to enjoy a lot hearing him tell about the cattle trails of having to, back then, you know, they had to fight the Indians, and they would drive their cattle to Kansas City, and they would sell them, and then they would ride their horses back. They'd bring their money back in their saddle pouches, and last time they'd had to ford the Red River up close to, around Oklahoma, and I've heard him tell about there'd be several herds on the trail, you know. Well, maybe two or three men would stay back with one herd, and they'd come up and help the others to get the cattle across the Red River, and then they'd go back. One or two would carry that herd on, and the others would go back and help the rest of them back. And of course, then when they was returning back, well, they'd always stay pretty close together on account of the Indians, you know, that have to watch at night.
Do you know of any treasure stories that have been spread around in Texas?
No, I don't know. Up in Central Texas, of course, we had the Indians that early day. They had the Indians, and they dug quite a, they would dig in these mounds, Indian mounds, quite a bit, and they would they'd find all Indian relics and things like that. But that's about all of that they've seen of it.
Were people very superstitious when you were younger?
Oh, of course there was a few that were superstitious, but not too many. I mean, I wouldn't say much more superstitious than we are today.
What were some of the acts, or, you know, some of the things they did to avoid superstition?
Well, of course, which is silly, but they didn't want a black cat to go in front of them, and they didn't walk under a ladder on the 13th and such things as that. But it wasn't... they wasn't much more superstitious then than they are now.
Now, the political scene in Texas, can you tell us a little bit, do you remember Ma and Pa Ferguson?
Yes, I remember, of course, Jim Ferguson. He was governor of Texas. I believe he was governor of Texas twice, and he finally got into a little political scandal over a road that he built from Belton to Temple. He had a brick factory, and he built this road out of brick, and there was quite a bit of scandal, and they, of course, they after he got out of office, though, well, then he run Ma Ferguson, and so she was elected, and she served one term as governor.
Mr. Cooper, could you tell us a little bit about your memories of World War One?
Yes, I remember about World War One. Of course, I was still in school during this time. I was too old to serve, too young to serve, and I believe the war was over in about in 1918, and I remember taking some powder and some anvils out of the blacksmiths, and this was a mean they had of expressing themselves. They'd shoot these anvils off, and that was, I guess, the biggest thing I remember about it was the war being over. But then we had quite a few hardships during this time, and of course food was rationed, and we didn't have the equipment or the means that they use today to fight with. We had just usually single seated planes, and just like the one that the Spirit of St. Louis that they used to fly across the ocean.
What type of planes did they have then?
Well, they had just small planes, two-seated planes, and they just had conventional weapons. They just had machine guns or things like that that which they fought with. We didn't have the bombers and the planes that we have today to fight with, or the planes that are capable of flying the heights. We were just low-altitude planes.
What do you remember about World War II?
Well, I never had to serve in either one of the wars, which I was fortunate, but we had World War II. I remember there was quite sometimes there's pro and con to it. Somebody be real patriotic, and then you'd have maybe someone of German instinct, you know, and they would naturally feel for Germany, and it'd create a little animosity.
What was happening in Texas at this time?
Well, in Texas, I think that we've always played, you know, our part of the role in anything that might come up. I mean, we had the National Guard, which when they went into the service, they went into the 36th Division, and they made a real good account of themselves throughout the war. They was in some of the main battles, and I feel like that I'm proud of our service record. Texas service record during the war.